The following audio is presented by Grace Church. For more about us, visit discovergrace.com or you can download our free app by searching Grace Church Orlando on your phone or tablet. Now, we hope you enjoy the message.
Hey everybody, it is great to be back. Y'all gonna call me this is y'all. So last night at Winter Garden, they kicked off services. This morning at Orlando, they kicked off services, and here we are. If you're visiting today and you're here, man, we're so glad you're here. If you aren't visiting, I am so glad you're here. It's been too long. Like, missed it. Man, I want to talk about it for like the next 10 minutes. I have missed being in person so much, and so thank you so much for showing up. Here's the thing. I went to breakfast yesterday with a couple. Me and my wife did. And while we were hanging out, something happened in that breakfast. And it's one of those things where you go, hold on. I think everybody around us feels this way right now. Right now. And so here's how the conversation went. We were talking about how we're so excited to be gathering. We're so excited to get back. And this couple, that I'm not saying who it is, but this couple, they're older than us. They love Jesus. They've been walking with Jesus longer than we have. It's people who we look up to. And we're sitting there over the meal, and we're talking about, man, it's so exciting to be together. And the wife made this statement. She said, man, in this season, I felt so lethargic with the Lord. And I just thought, like, whoa. If you felt that way, how many other people, and who doesn't feel that way? I mean, who doesn't feel like, man, I feel like in this season, it has been so tough with me and God. Like, I haven't felt connected, and it's been tough, and all those things. And so I want to give you the space and an opportunity to do something this morning. We've never done this at Grace. So I want to, y'all are like, I'm visiting, what's happening right now? Like, what are you about to do? No, it's nothing weird, but I want to give you some space to go before God and to say, God, I want to restart. Everything that's been happening, everything that's been going on in my life for the last 4 months, 6 months, 10 years, whatever it is for you, God, I want to restart right now. I want to reset with you. And so here's what I want you to do. In just a minute, I want you to get in a position of surrender before God. And so what that could mean for you, I'm just going to spell it out. It could mean that you're just hunched over a little bit, you got your hands out, and you're praying to God. You're saying, I surrender to you. For others, it could be that you are literally on your hands and knees in surrender before God. But I want to give you the opportunity to say, God, I want to restart with you. I want to restart my marriage. I want to restart my life. I want to restart my job. I want to restart following you. Because I know that you love me, as we talk about communion. I know that you forgive me. But this whole thing, I want to put it in the past. And I want to restart with you right now. And then I'm going to pray over y'all. So you can go ahead and get in that posture right now. You can dim the lights for us. You can keep it there too. And y'all pray and surrender to the Lord. God, we give you this next season of our lives. I thank you so much that we can start fresh with you, that your mercies are new every morning, and we're committing this next season to you. We want to restart this life with you. Whatever our baggage, whatever it is in our past, we just confess that we fall short, but that Jesus, you are more than enough. And so God, I pray that we would commit these next days and weeks and months and years and the rest of our lives to you. Oh, how we need you, Jesus. And so Father, I pray that we would just, man, we would be re-engaged and that you would speak to us this afternoon. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, we have been in the book of Ephesians for the last 9 weeks. This is our 10th week in the book of Ephesians. And so, if you haven't been with us, we are in chapter 5, verses 15 and following. Here's the big idea. The big idea for this message is don't waste your life. Don't waste your life. Now, I know when you hear that, like, this is a tough passage, it's a convicting passage, but don't hear condemnation. Think of it this way. God, I want to restart this with you. I want to consider my life before you that it's yours. That whatever you want me to do, wherever you want me to go, and I will do. And so I don't want to waste my life. See it as a positive. See this, God, how can I live my life for you? That's the picture. That's where we're headed. But I want to be fair to everyone in this room, including myself. So I'm putting me in this category. Most of us don't make decisions, okay? And say, all right, this decision is my next decision to say, this is my first step to a wasted life. We don't do that. We don't go, hey, this thing that I'm about to do, it's my first step to a wasted life. We don't say that. We don't say, hey, I'm going to buy this house, and it's my first step to a wasted life. I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to pay it off. I'm going to be so deep in debt that we're going to be paycheck to paycheck, and we may not make it. Nobody goes into that decision going, I see it clearly. Wasted life in my future. Right? We don't buy a TV and go, all right, I know I'm about to be all consumed with the screen hours after hours after hours, and I'm going to waste my life with it. Here's the decision I'm making, or that gaming system. We don't go, okay, I'm going to start gaming, and I'm going to waste my life away. Or I'm going to buy that boat, I'm going to waste my life away. Or I'm going to buy that camper, I'm going to waste my life away. Or I'm going to start dating that girl, and I'm going to waste my life away. I saw some smiles. Right? Or I'm going to date that boy, let's put it on the guys, right? And I'm going to go waste my life away. Or I'm going to take that job or pursue that career. And guess what? That's going to be my next step to a wasted life. We don't do that. As a matter of fact, all the examples, and I'm just going to give a couple more. We don't pick up hobbies, play sports, get a Target credit card. We don't do those things and go, all right, next step to a wasted life. Why? They're morally neutral. They're not good or bad. Right? And so here's the idea. You can have good decisions and best decisions. And guess what? Sometimes good decisions lead us astray. It can lead to a wasted life. That's the picture. And so I'm putting myself, as a matter of fact, I can give you an example. And I've never shared this part of the story. I don't think this is getting recorded. So I'm going to share it. It's not that. Okay, it's not that. It's not even that. I was a car wash manager at a store, and at the same time, I was pursuing, it was a church planning resident. So I was a church planning resident, manager at a car wash. I ran the store, and I was doing this. That fell through, and I was just a car wash manager. Y'all have heard that before. Some of you. Here's what you didn't hear. The guy who hired me loved Jesus. He's an elder of his church. And he knew that I did this job as a means of an income so that I could do church planning. He knew that. So he knew I had an expiration date on this job. He was going to have to rehire. But I jumped in the job. Things went well. Our store just really boomed, and our sales increased. The staff was great. We had a great team. Things were going really well. And finally, I knelt down on this church. And I was like, okay, Chuck, it's getting time. I'm thinking I'm going to go with this church. And you're going to have to rehire, so I'm giving you a heads up. He goes, hey, let's meet. And I was like, okay. So we sit down, and Chuck's a great guy, loves Jesus. And we're sitting there, and he goes, all right, I just want to paint a picture for you. I just want you to consider something. I was like, okay, all right. You know, like, where are we going? Well, this is going to be fun. You know, what adventure do we have? He's like, all right. So we got one store, and I'm going to share this with you, okay? You make $40,000 working here a year, okay? So what I want to do is, Clint, I'm looking at two other properties right now. Like, I'm ready to go. This other property is going to be a car wash. This other property is going to be a car wash. I want you to be the district manager. I will immediately jump your salary from $40,000 to $75,000. You will get 3% bonus, obviously, on the first store, but as soon as we open the second, you'll get 3% bonus on whatever you make on top of that store. And when we open up the third, I'll jump your salary to $125,000 a year, and we'll give you 3% of bonuses of all three stores. And I don't know about you, but I was sitting there going, that's a lot of money. Like, I was like, man, are you serious? $40,000, so now I'm making $175,000 a year. Okay, so I'm sitting here listening to him, and he goes, and, because he goes, Clint, I know you, you want to do ministry and all of this, and I know that you want to share your faith and all of this. He goes, listen, here's the deal. You be a district manager. He goes, all you have to do is make sure all three stores are killing it. And he goes, if you do that, you can just show up twice a week, check in, if everything's good, you can go do whatever ministry you want. Now, I know some of you are thinking, can you give me that guy's number? Because, like, I want to call him up right now, and we can work this out, right? I mean, it was a good deal. It would be a good decision. But for me, it wasn't the best decision. It was tempting. I was like, man, God, can we work something out, right? But guess what? I wouldn't be here if I stayed there. God didn't have that in my story. God had another story for me. And for me, for somebody else, and for lots of other people, it's a fantastic thing, and you're not wasting your life pursuing it. But for me, what God's called me to do, it would be wasting my life. And so I want you to consider, I'm going to go through three questions for you to consider as we jump into Ephesians chapter 5. And these questions, the intent of these questions are this, that you would think about restarting your life. And am I wasting my life? So don't see them as super negative, but instead, like, how can I restart? What do I need to discern, think through? So here's three questions for you to think through as we process out of Ephesians chapter 5. So here we go. The first question I want you to consider is, will you use your time wisely? Will you use your time wisely? Let's look at the text. Chapter 5, verse 15. Look carefully, strong word, carefully than how you walk. Not as unwise, but as wise. That word carefully, here's the picture. It's like somebody, it's like a lawyer who's preparing to go to court. He's looking at the details, he's researching, he's studying, he is diving in to the details. Paul is saying, look, pay attention carefully to your life, to your goals, to your outcomes, to everything about your life. Pay attention. Don't live as unwise, but live wisely. Live wisely. And he says, look carefully then how you walk. Listen, walking is a lifestyle. It's the character that's an everyday lifestyle. Look carefully how you live. Look carefully what you choose. Look carefully at your character, at your decisions. And then he says, not as unwise, but as wise. So that word wisdom, we know what it is, right? There's a biblical wisdom that's different from worldly wisdom. Biblical wisdom isn't just, and if I could replace the word wisdom with Christianity, wisdom is not just right and wrong. It's not just simple choices and unsimple choices. It's not just, hey, don't kill someone, don't lie, but be kind. Don't do this, don't slap your mama, but you know, like, be kind of, be gentle. Ephesians, prior to this, talks all about the ethical parts of wisdom, right? That we would be forgiving. That we wouldn't steal, but that we would give. There's all these ethical parts of wisdom, but that's not all of wisdom. Wisdom is this. It's receiving all the information and being able to say, whoa, I see where that could lead me. Because I know my heart, because I know my temperament, because I know my temptations, because I know the fallenness that I have in my life. I know that if I make that decision, if I purchase that thing, if I go about it that way in my life, that that's an unwise choice, even though it's morally neutral as you pursue it. But for me, for you, is it wise? It's being able to see the evil and the lie that's out there. Wisdom isn't just right and wrong. It's saying, okay, I see that. I'm going to pursue the right path. I'm going to go the godly path. Wisdom is choosing the better solution. Verse 16, making, this is where I get the question from, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. I don't think I have to tell anyone in this room that our days are evil, that there's evil out there, that bad stuff's happening. I don't think I have to tell anybody in this room, or that we're even a part of it at times, right? I don't have to go there. It's just a fact. Making the best use of our time. Why? Because life is short, because we only get one shot. Paul say, hey, consider, pay close attention to your life. Don't live unwisely, but wisely, redeeming the time. Buy back the time. Wise living means making the most of your time. That's what it means. Paul is cautioning us here. Think about what you're doing. Think about your goals. Do they align with God? So I'm going to share a story about somebody that he shares all over, so I think it's okay to share. He shared it in GK. He shared it with my kids. So Don Stewart is, he loves Jesus. And then part of his testimony is this. Don Stewart would tell you he had an idol when it comes to golf. And the statement that he oftentimes makes, even my kids have said it to me, okay? I love these in GK, pouring in our kids, loving on them, sharing the gospel with them. He would say this, I am really good at golf. You know how I know that? I almost ruined my marriage through. I'm really good at golf because I spent so much time pursuing that idol in my life. I loved golf. And so it was this thing in my life that I just pursued and went all in. Here's the thing about idols. They can literally overtake our life, right? So Gina and I have been watching this show called The Home Edit. Anybody in here? Oh, we got two. There's a little bit slower, maybe. What's she about to say? So nobody in the first service, they probably lying. That's all right. All right, so The Home Edit, it's an organization team. It's these two ladies, and they got this team, they come into a house. Oftentimes, a famous person's house, they show up, they see what they got going on, and they organize everything. It's incredible. But I have a warning for you guys, or maybe girls, depending on how the spousal is, don't watch it at night, because my wife was up till 1 a.m., organizing, going, oh my gosh, we got to change this, and we got to change that. And I was like, oh, maybe we got to go to bed, you know? So if you got a spouse like that on either side, don't watch it at night, 8 a.m. in the morning, then just leave. I'm just kidding. You're like, you're terrible. So anyways, there's this show called Home Edit. Here's the picture. There's a saying they have. You can have either this item or space. Either this item or space. So they go into a really famous person's home. One of them that I watched is this woman who's a designer. So she has clothes, upon purses, upon bags, upon jewelry, makeup, the whole deal, stilettos, everything that you could imagine. She had 10,000 of them. So she shows up in this huge closet. It's literally covered with stuff. You can't even move. It's how do I get in here? How do you get that bag in the corner? You can't. That's the picture. So they show up and they say, hey, listen, you got 10,000 shoes. You got to edit them out. You have to get rid of some of those shoes. Or you just won't have space. It's one or the other. You can't have both. You can't have your space and have all of your stuff in here as well. In the same way, idolatry works that way. You can't have your idol and plus God, or your idol plus your marriage, your idol. It doesn't work. It's one or the other. Right? And that's the picture here. He's saying, hey, you can't have both. Don was saying, I can't invest my life in God totality and invest in my marriage. I got to choose one or the other. So I want to ask you, what are you doing with your time? What are you investing your life in?
Does this mean you give up everything fun and all of your hobbies and recreation? No, it just means you put them in its proper place. Another part of the show, the home edit, they have a zone in every closet. So you have your shoes zone, you have your belts zone, you have your jeans zone. You, for some of the people, I mean, it was like you had your bracelet zone. I mean, it was crazy, but here's the picture. If your shoe zone starts to overflow, it starts to spill into other zones. So you have to take some of them out. You have to put it in its proper place. It's the same thing in life. We have to put everything in its proper place or it will overtake us. And so Don, he still plays golf. You know what he does differently? He doesn't play golf and not go to church. He tells my kids that. He doesn't play golf and then not invest in his marriage. No, no, no. He plays golf. He's bought back his time. He's made the most use of his time. You know what he does? He disciples people on the golf course. He fellowships with people on the golf course. He loves people, meets people, does the whole thing. He's a disciple and a follower of Christ on the golf course. It's in its proper place. You see that? That's the picture. You say, I want you to make the most use of your time. And so just a little shout out real quick. I'm not going to stay here long. So speaking of golf, we have a golf tournament coming September 19th, okay? So if you want to buy back, if you want to redeem that time back for Jesus, it's a great place to do it. And so we've got 63, I think, signed up. We can take up to 72 people. So maybe this is the time for you to invite somebody who either doesn't know Jesus or is far from Jesus or whatever. You say, hey, you want to come play in our tournament? And the proceeds on top of whatever the cost of the golfing is, it all goes to Commission 127. So that's one of our strategic partners. They are fantastic. They come alongside foster families to encourage, exhort, love, and help them through the seasons that they go through in life. So just a little plug, September 19th, go on to discovergrace.com. I'm done, okay? But the question is, does your time represent what God is calling you to be and do as a father? I mean, do your purchases, your decisions, your hobbies, your relationships, are they making the most of your time on earth? Second question I want you to consider. Will you seek your will or God's will? And I'm not pointing at myself like, I don't know what I should do. But are you seeking your will or God's will? That's the next question I want you to consider as you restart this season of your life. Verse 17, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now, if you're like me, if I was sitting while somebody was preaching about this exact thing, I'd be going, man, I'm good. What are you talking about? I don't need to think about this stuff. That's just my automatic, like, I'm okay. Me and Jesus are good, right? Everything in my life's great. I want to give you three statements for you to consider, okay? The text says, listen, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. Here's the three statements. I want you to chew on this. If you aren't reading your Bible regularly and know the scriptures, it will be difficult for you to discern the will of God in life. Statement number two. If you aren't regularly praying, and I don't mean praying over a meal, I don't mean when a crisis hits you going, oh God, help me, but praying regularly and praying over decisions, small and big, it will be difficult for you to discern the will of God in your life. Third statement. If you don't allow the church to speak into your life, and when I say church, I don't mean a building, I mean the people of God, the community of God that you're in and with. If you don't let them speak into your life, into your decisions, into your goals, into your dreams, into all of those things, it will be difficult for you to discern the will of God in your life. So maybe you're here and you're going, man, I'm good. Consider those three statements in your life. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3 says this, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Watch this. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what? What is the will of God? What is good and acceptable and perfect? Paul is saying, man, your life, my life is not my own. My job is not my own. My marriage is not my own. My hobby is not my own. My next decision is not my own. I am a living sacrifice to God. And then he says this profound statement to me. To me it is. Don't be conformed to the image, to the patterns of this world. In other words, don't do what's just natural. Don't do what just everybody else is doing. Don't do what just the culture is doing. Don't do just what everybody who's in the same financial standpoint as you is doing. Or class that you're in is doing. Or job that you're in is doing. No, no, no. Go against the tide. Don't conform to the world. Instead, be transformed. That takes work. That takes Holy Spirit work. That takes you being in the Scriptures. That takes you praying. That takes you say, hey, help me out. Let's make this decision together. I'm not alone. My life is not my own. I am a living sacrifice to God. That's what he says. So that I can know the good, acceptable, and perfect will. I got an example of a couple in our campus. And so I'm going to share a little bit of their story. I think they're okay with it. we'll just go there. We were sitting over dinner, and we were talking about seasons of life, and it was Daryl and Caroline, and it was just this beautiful meal where we were sitting and talking about what God's doing. And so Karen was CFO at Siemens, Daryl was a computer programmer, and they said, you know, we're retired. We started saying, okay, God, what's next for our lives, right? Because here's the thing. The typical going with the pattern of the world, right? What do you do when you retire? All right, I'm in Florida. Let's pan like the panhandle. Bam. There we go. The beach house. Let's do it. We're going to go. We're going to enjoy our lives for the rest of our lives. And you know what? That's not wrong. It's morally neutral. It's not right or wrong. For some people, it's the right choice. For the Langs, they said, we want to take our time, our talents, and our resources, and we want to go all out for Jesus. And so, Clint, I want to tell you about what God's been stirring in our hearts and doing around our lives. And so we joined up with this nonprofit, and there's not this arm of this prophet in the central area. We want to end human trafficking in Central Florida. We want to be a part of that. We're going to use our talents, our times, and our resources to knock it out of the park for Jesus. And I remember Karen saying, this is our next season of life. And I was going, this is incredible. Like, this is awesome. This is what we're called to be, to do, to make the most of our time, to seek God's will and not our own, and not just go with the culture and say, well, I guess for the next 20 years, I'll just sit it up and drink tequila or whatever it is, you know? But no, 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 I'm going to go all in for Jesus. Whatever that looks like. Whatever that is. But here's the thing. So many of you are so talented and gifted, and God's given you resources. Man, God, what is your will? What's my next 10 years? What's my next year? What's my next season? What do you want me to do? What are you calling me to be? Third question to consider as you restart in this season, will you live a Spirit-filled life? Will you live a Spirit-filled life? Verse 18, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So I'm just going to stop there real quick. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Don't be consumed and controlled and led by your passions, by your interests, by the things that would lead you astray. Don't get drunk with wine. You can replace that with drugs, with any addiction that's out there. Don't be filled with this. Don't be led by this. Don't be directed by this. Don't be consumed with this. No, 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 no. Be filled with the Spirit. Be led by the Spirit. Be controlled by the Spirit. So just stop for a second. Think about this. What is the thing that can consume you? that is leading you astray and directing you, and you feel the pull of it. He's saying, don't pursue that. Pursue being filled with the Spirit, being led by the Spirit. So we should pause and say, God, would your Spirit just, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Would you direct me in this decision, in this whatever it is, hobby, whatever's going on in my life, this next season of my life, would you fill me with the Spirit? And then he gives the rest of it in verse 19. So there's two ways of interpreting this. One is result, and the other is means. In other words, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, and here's what will result if you do that. Verse 19. I don't take that view. I think it's a fine view. I just don't think that's what the Scriptures say. But practically, either way, it's going to land the same. The second view, I think, is means. In other words, don't be drunk with wine, be filled with the Spirit, and here's the means by which you are filled with the Spirit. It's not the only means, but it's a means, and it's an important one according to this Scripture. So he's saying, don't be drunk, be filled with the Spirit, and here's the means by which you do it. Addressing one another in psalms, verse 19, in hymns and spiritual songs. Singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that beautiful? You want to be full of the Spirit? Gather and worship. Worship the Lord. Engage in worship. Sing songs, hymns, spiritual songs. Be full of the Spirit. Give God thanks. Be grateful. Let His Spirit move in your life in such a way that you would go and be different, that you would go and be full of the Spirit and make right decisions, holy decisions. Come and be filled up. That's the picture. As a matter of fact, I can tell you an example of this that is clear as day. College, I went to a church called Riverbend. It's my first Sunday there. As I feel like most college students do, I felt lost. I felt like my identity was challenged. I didn't know what was going on, even though as I was a believer. I just felt disturbed, all of that. I was wrestling with a lot of stuff. And so I show up at this church, and we sit and worship. This guy stands up, starts singing, and I was immediately like, just felt God's presence. And I was sitting there, and I was going from singing to being engaged to crying to confessing to reestablishing and realigning with Jesus. And it happened week after week after week. And God just started shaping me and molding me as I sat in worship. Are you engaged in worship? I'm not trying to call men out, but this can be hard for men. I understand that. Where even singing can be hard. But he's saying, I want you to be full and engaged, and I want you to feel and sense and know and be full of the Spirit. I want you to be overwhelmed, that you would get past whatever's around you and fix your eyes on Him and sing to the Lord. That's the picture. You want to be full of the Spirit? Sing. Give thanks. Be filled up. And then go out. And so I want to end with this. What about you? At Grace, we talk about everyone taking their next step towards Christ. So I'm going to give you some practical steps for each of these questions. First one, talking about time. Will you use your time wisely? Here's the challenge. Here's the practical step for you. Discuss with either your spouse or a friend or Jesus, whoever. Discuss, am I using my resources, my talents, my time for the kingdom? What needs to change? What needs to change in my life? Number two, will you seek your will or God's will? Maybe you need to say, okay, I need to start reading my Bible. I need to start praying regularly. I need to start seeking God over my decisions instead of just making them because they feel right. Or I think, you know, in my gut, this is the right mode or way. And then the third part of this, maybe you need to join a GC. Maybe you need to join a small group. That's what we call Grace Communities. So that you can let other people speak into your life. We have one and we start throwing things up. Sometimes we disagree, but that's part of the process. You're not alone in your faith. You work this out together. And you seek God's will together. The third, will you live a Spirit-filled life? Will you pause? Say, God, would your Spirit lead me in this decision? Would you engage in worship? Would you give thanksgiving out loud to God because you're full of His presence, because you're full of His love and His grace in your life? And so that's my challenge to you. Don't waste your life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. And I pray that people would sense your peace and your encouragement. And though this is a challenging passage, that we have our whole lives ahead of us. God, that we can say, God, I'm here, and I want to make my life count for you. I want you to be famous, not me. I want you to be known, not me. I want you to be served and praised, not me. So God, help us. Help us by your Spirit. Challenge us, mold us, and make us into the image of Jesus. Help us not to waste our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.